Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We know about Noah in the Bible, and we know he built a big boat, and we know a rain came, and we know all of that, but by the Spirit of God and by His revelation, let's trust that we're going to learn something new, right? Okay, so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we submit ourselves to the authority of Your Word tonight, asking, Father, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, whether we've read it or heard it before, that our hearts would be teachable, they would be receptive, and Father, that we would know that You, with laser pinpoint accuracy, have spoken to our hearts before we leave here. Lord, we want to be challenged. We want the intellect to be challenged. We want the will to be stirred, God, and we want to leave here different than when we walked in. And Father, we thank You for the opportunity to worship You. There's no other God like the God that we serve, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank You, Lord, that You entrusted us with Your Word that has the power to transform and change our lives. So we submit our hearts and our lives to it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, some amazing people in the Bible. Would you agree? I would suspect that someday in the portals of history and in time, tens of thousands of years from now, people will say the very same thing about this generation. Amazing people lived in this generation. God did amazing things through people that lived in this generation. We just have to dare to believe that it's true. God, through the Scriptures, wrote powerful things to change people's lives, but He did the very same thing, and He has the very same plans today in our lives as believers. And we're going to talk about Noah, but I want to draw your attention, first of all, to that little statement under the title of the message. A look back precedes a leap forward. I think that is so true in a lot of ways. Think about the simplicity of that statement. A look back precedes a leap forward. That's not only true when we study God's Word, because when we look back in history and we remember the faithfulness of God through the Scriptures, but also in our lives, then it will propel us to leap forward. God wants us to leap forward spiritually. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He doesn't want us to stay stuck. He doesn't want us to be in the same place tomorrow as we are today. And He wants to be able to move us forward. So I'm going to ask you tonight that you would be willing to take a leap forward. Take a leap forward by unlocking some truths that God's going to show us in His Word. I'm going to need you to help me a little bit tonight with the message. And here's what I'm going to need you to help me do. First, we're going to say two statements together, and I'm going to weave these statements in the message tonight, talking about Noah. They're not on your notes because I wrote them down about half hour ago. So it would be impossible for you to have them on your notes. So at the top of your outline, here's what I want you to write down. First thing I want you to write down is at the right time. Say at the right time. Say it like you have conviction in your heart. At the right time. Okay, now y'all got it written down? At the right time. And then right underneath of that, I want you to write, I don't want a leaky life. Say it. I don't want a leaky life. Come on, say it like you mean it. So at the right time, and I don't want a leaky life. Okay, now we're going to weave this through the message. So you have to know what I'm talking about. So let's try it. At the right time, and I don't want a leaky life. Okay, I'm half convinced, but hopefully as we go through the message, you're going to be more and more convinced. Thomas Milburn said this. It's not in your outline, but Thomas Milburn said this. Life has room for only one consuming pursuit. Life has room for only one consuming Think about that word, consuming pursuit. The consuming pursuit of the man or the woman of God should be God himself. That should be our consuming pursuit. If God is our consuming pursuit, he will work everything else out. But he must be our consuming pursuit. I must pursue him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and in the right time, God will show up and he'll blow our minds. And he'll do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. The life of Noah is one of those lives. It's amazing when you read this story about this man named Noah and how he stood alone. Have you ever felt like you stood alone? Have you ever felt like you were the only one standing for what you should be standing for? And you look around and the people close to you and the people that you trust and that you believe and you thought you believed, and they don't seem to be standing with you. Do you know that it happened in the beginning of humanity? And God says not only was it that way at the beginning of humanity, but at the end of humanity, there are going to be people that are going to be standing alone. Noah was one of those stand-alone guys. He stood alone when nobody else was doing it. And the Bible describes this amazing time in history, and I want us to go through this because we need to really look at some things that are not only challenging and true about the days of Noah, but Jesus said that prior to the returning of the Son of Man. In other words, when Christ comes back the second time, the world is going to look like it looked in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah. So that is a sobering reality. So let's look at what the Bible says. How about if we do that? Does that sound good? So let's try again, one more time. At the right time, I don't want a leaky life. Okay. How do you know what to do at the right time? How do you know what to do at the right time? Ask me. Ask me. Thank you for asking. I'm going to answer it tonight for you. I'm going to tell you how to know what to do at the right time because it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, I can believe it. So here's what Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 10 say. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. And he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Listen to the words that the Bible is using to describe planet Earth at the time of Noah. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. God's heart was broken by the evilness, by the evil and the wickedness that he saw on planet Earth. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race that I've created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, large animals, small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. Now listen to this about Noah. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Oh, that's good. Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only. You should underline that word only. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're the only. Sometimes at work, you're going to feel like you're the only. Sometimes at home, you might feel like you're the only. There's lots of places and lots of times in life when you feel like you're the only. But in the midst of feeling like you're the only, God is there. And God is there with instruction, and God is there with answers, and God is there with solutions. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at that time. I wonder what earth must have looked like. I really do. I wonder what earth must have looked like at that time. I'm going to watch the DVD when I get to heaven. From my mansion, I'm going to watch the DVD in real time, all 700-800 years of it, however long it takes, because there's no hurry in heaven, and you can come to my house and watch it with me. But what must that have looked like? Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. What would a man of God who lived back then say to men and women of faith today? You are a man or a woman of faith today, living in a world that is progressively moving toward what God said earth was like before he destroyed it, and what God says earth is going to be like before he comes back. That's what we're living in the midst of. So what would Noah say if he were here? He would say things like, character trumps sin. Character trumps sin. So as we grow in our character and we develop in our relationship with God and we begin to mature and we begin to stand up, and when we stand in the midst of being the if-onlys or the onlys in our workplace or whatever it is, and we stand strong and we stand true to God's word, he will be there with us. He would probably also say this: the depravity of humanity is always revealed in crisis. The depravity of humanity is always revealed in crisis. And so when we begin to see the depravity of man, there's crisis all around. And who's to speak into the crisis? Who's to speak into that situation? And who's to bring hope? And who's to bring vision and passion for the future if it's not the man or the woman of faith? It must be us. So I want you to imagine this as we dive into this. 480 years old, you start a building project. 480 years old, and you start a building project that's going to take you 120 years to complete. I want you to think about how tedious and how frustrating and how discouraging sometimes and how lonely sometimes and all of those things. And so why would God put a story in the Bible several thousand years old if there wasn't practical application for today? There is. There's practical application and truth that we can relate to our lives today. The first one is this, and I want you to write it down on your outline. Just fill it in, please, as we go along. First thing we've got to do is we've got to actively set ourselves apart. We must actively set ourselves apart. Now, that is a tricky thing to do in a world where we're supposed to be influencers. Now, Noah set himself apart. The Bible said that he was righteous. He was the only one blameless on planet Earth. And he goes into this building project, but he did it because he was able to set himself apart. Or in other words, he was able to stand alone. I want you to think about a time in your life, maybe recently or back whenever, when you stood alone, when you felt like it was you against whatever, but you knew in your heart that God said stand alone. You knew that there was something that you either had to stand alone and speak into, or you had to set yourself apart to be able to do it. It's at those times when God shows up in amazing ways. It's at those times when God shows up and then we realize he's never called us to do it in our own strength. But the choice that has to be made first and foremost is, God, I'm going to set myself apart. And set ourselves apart from what? Set ourselves apart from the things that other people are pursuing that lead people from God. What was the world, what had the world turned into in just a few hundred short years? God had created this perfect humanity, this perfect earth. Sin got in, and we've already talked about that. Sin got in, and then you just see this slow erosion of humanity. You see the slow erosion of people, but yet in the midst of that, there's this person called Noah. Will you be the person? Will you be the person that stands alone? Will you be the person that sets themselves apart? God is looking for modern-day Noah. God is looking for modern-day Noahs that will stand apart, stand alone, and challenge the world. Can you imagine what Noah did in 120 years? I mean, he had to build this ark. He couldn't go to Home Depot and buy the materials. He had to cut the trees down. He had to drag them to where he was building. He had to strip the bark. He had to do, imagine how labor intensive the job was that Noah had to do. Sometimes we feel like the job that God has called us to do is so labor intensive. But God was there and God was showing up and God was speaking to Noah. And I'm confident today that God has not changed. Wherever God has told you and called you to stand alone and set yourself apart, he's right there with you. And he'll be faithful to you. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. How urgent and how important was it for Jesus to say this? It was in the last week of his life. In the very last week of Jesus' life, he calls a time out and he says, let me tell you what it's going to be like at the very end of the age. And here's what he says in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time that Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. So we have this picture 6,000 years ago of what the earth was like. Then 4,000 years later, we have Jesus saying, the earth is moving toward that direction, and it's going to be very similar when I come back for the second time. So it's not like we're unaware of what it is that God is going to do. And it's not like we're unaware of what the condition of the world is going to be like when Jesus comes back. So there's a couple questions on your outline, and I just want to move through this first part rather quickly so I can get to what I felt like was just a tweaking of the message a little bit. The question is this on your outline: how is it possible to return to what we've been delivered from? How is it possible to return to what we've been delivered from? The Bible describes that in the last days there's going to be returning to the ways that people used to live. So there's going to be this great drawing away and this great attraction by the plans and the schemes of the enemy to draw us away from God. So there's going to be a couple things happening in the last days. There's going to be evil and wickedness prevailing on planet Earth, but there's also going to be a great turning away. And we can't be ignorant of this. We have to know that the Scriptures teach this. How can that possibly be? And I think there's two ways that that happens. And point number two and point number three are the ways that this happens. And I want to focus much on these. I just want to give them to you and move right through. But point number two is this: because it is possible to return to old ways of living, we have to beware of the sins of omission. We have to beware of the sins of omission. What is a sin of omission? It's right there on your outline. Something that's left out, not done, or neglected. There were people in the days of Noah, there will be people before the second coming of Christ that have allowed the sins of omission to creep back into their lives. And things that they're not doing or things that they've neglected. And so we need to pay attention that we're not letting that happen in our lives. Let's not neglect things that we were once doing. Let's not neglect things that we knew we used to stay away from, but now we're messing around with. Let's be careful with that. Jude verses 3 and 4 says this: "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny that Jesus Christ is our only sovereign and Lord." So we have to beware of the sin of omission. The next one is beware of the sins of commission. Beware of sins of commission, authority granted for a particular action or function. Don't allow yourself to enter into things that you willingly commit, that you've been delivered from. God has delivered you from things. Can you say amen to that? There are things that God has set you free from. I can't tell you how many times in conversations with people that are struggling in the areas of sin that it's often repeat offenses. And what I mean by that is falling back into something that they were familiar with before, and they become sins of commission. We fall into those things. We have to understand that Jesus is talking to a couple audiences of people when he's talking about the second coming of Christ. He's talking about those that are completely rebellious, ignorant, and living completely intentionally separated from God. But he's also talking about people that are intentionally walking away from God. In Jude verse 7 says this: "In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns," notice this, "gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion." So, we've got to choose to set ourselves apart. Say, "I will." Say, "I have." And "I'll continue." Say, "I'll continue." Very good. So, now, do you remember your first line? Help me, I forgot. What's your first line? That's right. Thank you. At the right time. So, see where it says Noah was? Do you see that on your outline? Are you with me? Noah was. What's the line? Noah was. That's terrible. Noah was. Noah was at the right time a believing man who walked with God. Write that in. Noah was a believing man who walked with God. If we're going to, at the right time, show up and do what God has called us to do, then it's going to be because we're believing people who walk with God. We're choosing to be people who walk with God. At the right time, Noah was a believing man who walked with God. At the right time, you must be a believing man or woman who is going to walk with God. Why? Because there's going to be an increase of wickedness around us, and we have to choose to be believing people that will walk with God. So, I want to be that kind of a man. I want to be a believing man that walks with God. Noah was. Am I? Are you? We have to ask ourselves honest questions and then give ourselves honest answers. If we're going to move through life victoriously and supernaturally, then we have to ask ourselves honest questions, but then we have to give ourselves honest answers. So, at the right time, Noah was a believing man who walked with God. I ask you this question at the beginning of the message. How do you know what to do at the right time? Did I not ask you that question? How do you know what to do at the right time? Here's how. First of all, because Noah was a believing man who walked with God, he listened. Just write that right next to that. Write that right next to point number four. How do you know what to do at the right time? Isn't that a good question? How do you know what to do at the right time? You have to listen. So to be a believing man and walking with God at the right time means I need to be listening. Noah was listening. God said to Noah, build me a boat. And Noah listened. It sounded crazy. It sounded like it was, he didn't even understand it. What do you mean? What's a boat? Build a boat? What's a boat? There's times that God says things to us that don't make sense in the natural, but we must listen. We've got to listen. We've got to listen to do what God has said. So Noah was, at the right time, a believing man who walked with God. How was that possible? He listened. Here's what Genesis chapter 6, verses 6 through 9 say. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth, talking about humanity. It broke his heart, and the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry around the ground, even the birds. I am sorry I ever made them. Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless man living on the earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. We've read that. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Are we walking in close fellowship with God? I ask you to make two statements at the beginning of the message. At the right time. At the right time. And the other one was, I don't want to live a leaky life. I want you to notice something before, and I know it's going to mess the whole PowerPoint up and all that, but here's what I really felt prompted of the Lord to challenge us with in this message. So I'm going to skip over point number five because I want to read Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 22 before I come back to the next point. Sorry to mess you guys up back there. So here's what God said to Noah. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Underline those words. Coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make the lower and the middle upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth and destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on the earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all the living creatures, male and female, and keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything. Notice the word everything. That's really important. Noah did everything just as the Lord commanded him. Here's what I thought when I read that. And here's where I said, challenge yourself with this statement. I don't want a leaky life. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. God asked Noah to do this gigantic job I want you to build me a boat that's 450 feet long, the length of a football field and a half. I want you to build me this gigantic boat. But here was what was significant about the building of that boat. His success was going to be determined in the little things that he did. His success was not necessarily going to be in the building of this giant boat. His success was going to be in coating it with the pitch, inside and out. That was the key. The key was to coat it with the pitch inside and out, because here's what God knew and Noah didn't know, and here's why God spoke it. Those boats, that boat was going to leak. If that boat was not completely covered with pitch on the inside and on the out, it was going to leak and eventually it would sink. Eventually it would sink. So the significant thing that God was saying in here is certainly build the boat, but pay attention to coating it with the pitch inside and out. And I want to submit to us tonight that that is the challenge for every single one of us as believers, is to do the little things well. And one of the little things that we have to do well is we have to listen. How are we going to accomplish? At the right time, Noah was a believing man who walked with God. How was that? He filled in the cracks in his life and he listened to God. He wasn't living a leaky life. If you live a leaky life by not listening to God, eventually you will sink. Eventually we will sink. And so as detailed and as meticulous as that was, it was one of the most important jobs that Noah had to do. You know, listening is one of the most important jobs you have to do when it comes to your relationship with God. It's like using the pitch on the inside of your life that seals up so nothing is leaking out or leaking in. Noah could have built this amazing boat and you could have looked at it from a distance and you could have said, that's going to make it. God knew it wasn't going to make it. That's why God told Noah to do something that made no sense to him. Nobody had ever built a boat before. Nobody had ever seen floodwaters before. Nothing like that had ever happened. How much detail and how much work went into him finding whatever it was, sap, whatever it was. Can you imagine a 450-foot boat? Every single joint on that boat had to be filled with pitch so that the little things couldn't, a drop at a time, sometimes a drop at a time, things leak into our lives and they leak into our lives. And so we got to be careful. At the right time, we have to be people that believe God and walk with God. But we've got to make sure that we seal up so there's no leaky in our life. Does that sound? There's no leaky in our life. That doesn't necessarily sound right. I don't want a leaky life. Say, I don't want a leaky life. So, Noah was, at the right time, number four, a believing man who walked with God. Number five is this. Noah was... Oh, that's, thank you, Aaron. Appreciate that. Can we have a little help over there? Noah was a faithful man who worked for God. Noah was, at the right time, a faithful man who worked for God. So it's not enough just to be a believing person who walks with God. Then we have to be faithful people who work for God. God could have built the boat. He could have sent angels to build the boat. He could have had monkeys build the boat. He had Noah build the boat. There are times that God wants us to build things that are going to become vessels of rescue for people. And sometimes it's going to be this thing that you create in your family, or it's going to be something that you build, and it's going to be this thing that is going to deliver people. Noah was building such a thing. He was a faithful man who worked for God. How did he do that? First of all, he listened. Right next to number five, write this. He obeyed. He obeyed. So are you following me? At the right time, Noah was a believing man who walked with God. How? He listened. Say he listened. Number five, Noah was a faithful man who worked for God. How? He obeyed. I know it's not on your outline. That's what's messing us all up. He obeyed God. That's part of the pitch. That's part of the pitch that needs to make sure that we don't have leaky lives. People have leaky lives today because they're not obeying God. When God tells us to do something, He expects us to do it. Do you agree with that statement? When God tells us to do something, he expects us to do it, and it's not because he wants to do this to us all the time. He knows the storms of life come, and the floodwaters rise sometimes in life, and he wants us to be secure in him. And part of that is the little meticulous things like listening and obeying and applying that pitch, and if it's not quite thick enough, put another layer on there so you don't have a leaky life. Put another layer of obedience on there. God, I'm going to obey you when nobody else is looking. And put another layer and another layer so that it's watertight, so it's leak tight. That's what we need. We need leak tight lives. Because the world, how many of you would agree with me? The world is heading in a dangerous direction. And God is looking for righteous men and women like Noah who will set themselves apart and that will say, no matter what anybody else does, I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to be a faithful man who works for God. I was thinking about this just a few minutes ago, and I appreciated you praying over me right before the service. Thank you for doing that. And she was praying over my hands. And as I looked down at my hands after she prayed, I remembered thinking these hands have done a lot of things in my life. They've done a lot of things, and not all good things. Laid a lot of brick. Built a lot of things, Matt, you know what I'm talking about. Laid a lot of brick, done a lot of things, but I want my hands to work for God for the rest of my life. I want my hands to be used in service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and whatever that looks like, I want to put my hand to the plow, and I want to do what God has called me to do. And Noah did it for 120 years with the ridicule and the persecution and the people calling him crazy and saying, you're wasting your time, you didn't hear from God, it's not going to happen. You have had that happen. You have had people tell you, you missed God, you didn't hear from God, it's not going to happen. If God said it, it's going to happen. Amen? If God said it, it's going to happen. So what do we have to do? We have to be faithful people who believe God and walk with God. We have to be faithful people who work with God and work for God. And I've got to pitch my life in such a way that I'm not leaky. I don't want to be leaky. I want to be water and storm worthy. And I'm not going to do it in my own strength. The strength I have to do it in is the strength that comes from serving Jesus. But there's something about these small acts of instruction that come from God. Just a simple statement. Coat it with pitch inside and out. Ah, you know what, God? Do you know how much work it is to cut down one of those big trees, big cypress tree, whatever it is, God? You have no idea how much work it is, God, to try to cut one of those trees down. I think I'll take the shortcut. Do not take the shortcut. Don't take the shortcut when it comes to listening to God. Let's not take the shortcut when it comes to obeying God, because we don't know what the future holds. When God was telling Noah to put the pitch on the boat, it was because he knew what the floodwaters were going to look like. He knew what was going to happen. So he was speaking to Noah prophetically so that when the time came, Noah and his family would be secure. I believe with all my heart that God wants to speak to his people so that when the storms of life come, not if, but when the storms of life come, we make it through the storms. And we don't just survive, we thrive. But it won't happen if we're not trusting God. So Noah was to build the ark, God would guide it. Noah was to build the ark, God was to guide it. I remember when I was teaching my sons how to drive, and I was in the passenger seat, and I was so stressed out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You sit in that passenger seat, and you think there's a brake pedal there, and you're pushing your foot down, and it's stressful. And I was so glad when they finally learned to drive. I still get nervous when they drive, 22, 23 years old. Here's what we have to learn. Let God drive. Let God drive and try to take your foot off the pretend pedals in the passenger side. God doesn't need any other pedals. He'll drive. He'll put the gas down when it needs to go. He'll put the brake on when it needs to stop. Let him drive. He doesn't need a co-driver. He doesn't need somebody to take over when he's tired. He doesn't get tired. But I got to trust that he's in control. So when God says build it, you build it. Let him guide it. Does that make sense? Is that a good deal? So, at the right time, Noah was a faithful man who worked for God. So, your ability and my ability to to succeed in this life comes down to paying attention to small things. It really does. It comes down to paying attention to small things. It's usually not the big things in life that get us in trouble. It's just deliberate lack of attention to small things. And we have to be better about doing that. Amen? Amen. So, what gaps need to be filled in your life? What gaps need to be filled in my life? Those are questions that I've got to be willing to ask myself. My wife and I moved back here from Virginia, I may or may not have told you this story. I don't always remember. So if you start nodding off, I'll just think I told you the story and I'll pretend like one or two of you don't know. But anyway, we moved back here from Virginia and I had been saving money to buy a car, and Pastor George challenged me to give that money away. And I said, well, you know, I'm saving that money. I need a car. Had to leave the vehicle in Virginia. And I've got all these justifications and for why it's a good idea to keep this money. And he said, I think you should give that money. Go to the dinner and just give the money away. That's what I think you should do. I said, okay, God, I'll go and I'll do that. So I give the money away. The very next day I get a call from a lady who says, I want to give you a car. And I thought, oh, God, you're so good. God, I'm at the Faith Promise dinner. I give all that money away, and the next day I get a car, and I drive up in front of this house, and I'm looking around. I promise you, as God is my witness, I do not see a car anywhere. And I think God just blinded my eyes at that moment, because I'm looking around. I don't see a car. I walk up to the door with lots of anticipation in my heart, and you know, your imagination runs wild. I'm thinking, okay, I gave this money away, God, so you probably got a brand new truck, or you probably got something in there for me that's going to be nice. And lady answers the door. We have a little conversation. She says, there's your car right there. Gives me the key. I turned around. I had not even seen the car. And I turn around, and parked on the curb is a 1982 Chevy Chevette. And I thought, oh, and I'm telling you, I love Jesus, and I got a call on my life to be a pastor, and I'm just not happy. I'm not happy with Jesus right now. And so I go up to the car, and I'm trying to adjust my attitude as I'm walking up to the car, and I'm having a hard time adjusting my attitude. And I get in the car, and I sit down. I go to push the clutch in, and the floor mat is in the floor of the car. I go to push the clutch in, and the floor mat falls right through onto the street. There's no floorboard in the car. The only floorboard in the car was the mat. And I'm looking down, I'm thinking I'm in Fred Flintstone's car. I'm looking down, I'm seeing the road, and I'm thinking, this is not good. This is just not good. So what do? I just put the floor mat back, and I pretend like that car's not a leaky car. The car was a leaky car. And the problem was, I'd go through big puddles, and the water would splash up, and it'd get me all wet, and it was just, I drove that car for a long time. And God did a great attitude adjustment on me, and I finally got the victory over it after a while. I got to the point where I washed it every week, and I polished it, I shined it, and I promise you, every week something else fell off of it. And I'd be driving down the road, a light would fall off, a mirror would fall off, a piece of molding would fall off, and it was a great teaching tool for my boys. I had them help me wash it every week, and got to the point where they actually enjoyed riding in that car better than the one with the air conditioner. But the point is this, I could put the floor mat in the floorboard and pretend that it wasn't going to leak, but the fact of the matter was, it was going to leak. It was going to leak. It wasn't structurally sound. Let's not let our lives not be structurally sound when Jesus returns. We're living in a world that is not structurally sound today, and that is not what we're supposed to do as believers. We can be structurally sound. So let me give you the last point then. Noah was, thank you, Aaron, you're doing so good. Noah was a secure man who waited on God. Noah was not only a believing man, he was not only a man that worked, he was a secure man who waited on God. There are times that we just have to wait on God. There are times that we just have to wait on God. If God has spoken something to you, he's going to do it. And whether he does it today or tomorrow or next year or the year after, God will be faithful if he's spoken, and we have to learn to wait on God. That is a long time to wait on God, 120 years. I do not have the patience for that. I won't live that long. I hope I don't live that long. But that is a long time to wait on God, especially with all this going on. I think Noah lost his mind. I think he really lost his mind. Now he's building scaffolding to make that boat bigger. Now that boat is taller than all the trees. He's out of his mind. But he was a secure man. He was secure in that he had heard from God. So how, then, do you avoid a leaky life when you're a secure person that waits on God? You're patient. You're patient. So make sure the pitch is solid in your life and thick and watertight in the area of patience. You need to be patient. I need to be patient. If God has said it, he'll do it. There are lots of prayers I have out there that I haven't seen the fulfillment of yet. How many of you are with me on that? Lots of prayers out there for family. Lots of prayers out there for other things that I haven't seen the fulfillment of. But I'm trusting God. I don't know what else to do. I think that's the best thing to do. I'm gonna be a secure man who waits on God. I'm going to trust that God's promises are true. And I'm going to trust that God's going to be faithful to his word. So, how do I do that? Be patient. Be patient. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says this. Noah was another who trusted God. He made the heroes of faith. Noah was another who trusted God. When he heard God's warning about the future, Noah believed him, even though there was no sign of a flood, and wasting no time, he built the ark and he saved his family. Let's not waste time. Let's build when God says to build. Let's not waste time. Noah's belief in God was in direct contrast to the sin and disbelief of the rest of the world. Your obedience to God and your confidence in God is going to be in direct conflict to the way that the world lives. But if we trust God, here's what it says. His direct contrast to the sin and disbelief of the rest of the world, which refused to what? To obey. The world refused to obey, warning after warning after warning, but Noah listened to God. He obeyed God because of his faith, and he became one of those whom God has accepted. So, in conclusion, let me challenge us with a couple things. In the right time, or at the right time. At the right time, God will speak to you and tell you what to do. At the right time, he will speak. If he wants you to build, he'll tell you to build. If he wants you to put the pitch in the walls so you don't have a leaky life, he'll tell you to put the pitch in the walls. So at the right time. Then my challenge is examining whether I've got a leaky life. Much as I arranged that floor mat in that Chevette, as soon as I went through a big puddle, there it came, right back up. I could arrange that and I could shift that thing, but as soon as the floodwaters came up through the floorboard, my shoes were wet, my pants was wet, everything was wet. And so I could pretend it wasn't there, but the fact of the matter was, it was there. So a look back precedes a leap forward. So, is there an at the right time that you've avoided? Has God told you to do something and for whatever reason, you've just had a hard time doing it? You've just lacked the motivation or the confidence or whatever it is? If you've had an at the right time moment, respond in obedience. Listen to God. And then patiently trust him.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.